Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
When people come among us and into us, we always want to, we do that already in the wider life of the church, but we haven't really done it here so much. We want to take them through Grow, which, you know, as you might remember from last week, if you were here, different things about who we are as a church, how it started 30-ish years ago, a bit longer, our core values, and I'll read them in a minute, all the different things that are happening. And we talked about that banner. Anyone remember what that is? There's a phrase for we call it something, that pathway, is there? Starts with D. Discipleship pathway. Discipleship is following Jesus and him making us who we are. So it's know God, live in freedom, discovering our purpose. So we want to live with purpose and then we want to make a difference. Who hasn't got session one yet? I think you weren't here last week. We've got some copies still left. Fred, you want like one? Do you want to hand them out, darling? Now, this week there's part two. So probably none of you have this yet. So do you want to hand, could you hand them out? Jenica, thank you. Do you want to hand them out, darling? And then everyone will need a pen as well. There is a quiz and like an assessment of your character, so you kind of have to have one each to do it. There's some pens. Brilliant. That should be enough. Brilliant. Okay, are you all with me? Are we ready for Grow 2?
Yes!
Yes, that time is with me. We want to lay foundations of growth all together, but this is really good for us. And we went through this in Drew and I was like, this is really, really helpful and really good for any of us. But just the first page is a bit of a reminder. So last week, part one was the church, so who we are as a church, and belonging. Does anyone remember some of our values that we said we are as a church? We want to be like this, we want to be like this, we want to be like this.
Hospitable.
We want to be hospitable as a people. We want to be warm. Yeah, that's... You don't have to get the words exactly right, but what kind of culture would we want? Hospitable, warm, evangelical, missionary, outward looking,
inclusive,
we're embracing people.
Caring,
very good, very important. Yeah. Some of the words.
Generous. Happiness.
Oh, happiness, what did you say?
Healthy.
Yeah, healthy things grow, right? That was the first phrase. If something's healthy, it will grow.
Generous.
I think it was
compassionate.
Yeah, compassionate, yeah. So many times it says, no, Jesus saw and he was moved with compassion. And then he spoke, he healed. And you're allowed to stay here now. You passed the test. No. All that. And also inspiring, encouraging. Is there anything else, Caroline, we forgot? No, we're doing quite well. We've done the course. So that's the kind of atmosphere we want to be in, you know. We want to be in a positive, life-giving, encouraging, but that's what we want other people to come into, whether it's this setting or our homes or when we go out and do something. We want people to come into a people that are loving, caring, compassionate, not selfish, but selfless. That was part one. And then today is, it's entitled, Discover Your Gifts and How We Can Serve Others. So that's that. You can turn to page two, but I will share a few things before we kind of dive into it. And it's a bit more participation this week. So there's some like quiz-like assessment things or kind of how you are as a person and personality things. Because, you know, we're all uniquely and wonderfully made. If you look around you, there's no one who's exactly the same. Even if you're close.
Not even
cousin Angelica. You can wear the same things. Yeah. It doesn't mean you are. So... Right. Oh, it wants me to connect to the internet. I don't want to connect to the internet. No, just leave me. Anyway, so we are uniquely and wonderfully made. Now, today we're talking about character and gifting. Which one's more important?
Wow.
Character and gifting. Which one's more important? Gifting, so what you're good at, what you're skilled at, that could be a spiritual gift, could be a natural gift, just like, yeah.
I would say character, because gifting is a gift.
Yeah. Gifting is a gift, okay.
I want to be like Jesus.
So you're saying character?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a trick question. They're both important, but probably, that was a yes, that was a yes in the room. We want a good character. But you know, when maybe you've met someone or maybe you've heard of people that are super skilled and super gifted, but they're just not nice to be around. They're so proud, they're full of themselves. And you think, I don't know about you, but I'm like, well, then I don't really care what you can do. And I just, you know, you're not a nice person, right? So as much as, you know, in this world, in Western society, we often push for that, for education and this, you need to be skilled and we need to do. And that's amazing. And God has given us skills. You know, some of us are musical or craftsmen or art or cooking or hospitality. All of those are gifts. So it's not that they're not important, because, you know, Paul even says specifically about spiritual gifts, be eager, go after spiritual gifts, go after them. But then he also says, but the most important thing is love. Yeah. And that's character, right? That's not a, love doesn't drop from heaven like this. I mean, sometimes you get an extra boost, but generally speaking, God works his love in our lives. And often we find that we become more loving when we have to go through difficult situations. You know, you think of someone caring for a loved one, or, you know, if something difficult happens in a family, often, hopefully, more love comes to the surface that maybe you didn't even know was there. So you can have a superficial kind of love, but obviously what we want is we want that to go deeper, and true compassion, true love, that is not about what I can get. I'm not loving to get something from you. That's the world's kind of love. Okay, hey, what am I going to get in return? No, true love, God's kind of love, agape love, as in the New Testament, is I'm going to give and I'm going to love because I'm going to love. And because God's loved me, I'm going to love you. And even if you're not so nice back to me, or if you're horrible back to me, you know, the Bible talks about some of us, we might be persecuted for what we stand for, but we still love. So, you know, good overcomes evil. So that's character for you. But saying that, we're going to also look at gifting. So it's a bit of both, if that makes sense. And especially the book is a lot about gifting. But let me just give you some scriptures. Psalm 139 says, talking towards God, "For you, God, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully are your works. My soul knows that full well." Can you just turn to someone and says, "You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are wonderful." That makes two of you. And your personality and all those things. But who also knows, we all need a bit of help with our personality and our characters. Is anyone the most patient person in the world? I will test your patience then. Anyone the most loving? Okay, we've got the candidate for the most. But I don't know about you, I resonate with this scripture, which is Isaiah 64. It's in different parts of the Bible, but also here. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are clay. You are the potter, and we are the work of your hand." So the Bible repeatedly uses this image of clay being formed, being molded. That's more what I feel like. I don't feel like I'm a finished product, and hopefully you don't feel that either. Otherwise, we need to talk about humility. But but we are all like clay, and my prayer, maybe not in those words every day, but my heart towards God every day is, God, form me today, shape me, mold me. You know, sometimes I need a bit extra love. Sometimes I'm running out of patience. Sometimes I don't know, I don't have that compassion, and I just walk past and I think, oh, I probably, but rather than condemning myself, I can be like, God, you are so compassionate. Make me more compassionate. You are love, right? The Bible says not just he has love, he is love. God, make me more loving. And what the Bible says, it's not a self-improvement course, this, even though you have a course book. The Bible says that he transforms us into his likeness from glory to glory over the heavenly. So somehow as we walk with God, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so to speak, is to make us more and more like Jesus, more and more like Jesus, which is in your notes on page 2. At the bottom, you see that little graphic thing, those arrows. Yeah. And then the top one is about character, and the bracket says to be like Jesus. And how, what is Jesus like? Page 2 we are. What is Jesus like? Anyone want to shout anything out? We talked about love and compassion. Any other characteristics of Jesus?
Kind.
Gentle.
Peaceful.
Prince of Peace.
Patient.
Forgiving. Wow, he really was. Remember the story of the woman that was, they threw her before him. This woman has been committing adultery. What do you say? The law says this. They kind of tried to trick Jesus. Yeah. And he says, well, you know, if you're without sin, you've cast the first stone. And then he says, well, you know, I forgive. Go and sin no more. So any other character? Strong, very much. He's both the lamb and the lion, right? He's
courageous.
Yeah, no rival, no equal, courageous, yeah. I mean, just even if it doesn't specifically link it to Jesus, but just think through the Bible and all the characteristic God encourages, right? Book of Joshua, be strong and courageous. How often does it say that, right? So God wants to work strength in us. He wants to work courage in us. He keeps encouraging us to be bold, to not be ashamed of the gospel, all those things. And obviously classic fruits of the Spirit. Can we do them? Do we remember them?
Love.
There's 9. Love. Oh no, you're reading the notes? Angelica found the notes. Okay. Love, joy, peace. Peace, patience, self-control, kindness. Well, that sounds a bit like Jesus to me. I don't know about you. So we want to grow this way, like that little graphic encourages us in our character to be like Jesus. So again, it says, you know, we are the clay, you are the potter. So every day we can say, God, shape me today, form me today. Don't work yourself up if you're not living in perfection yet, because we're all on that journey. But here's another one. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are, you and I, we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good work. So there's things to do for us. So if you're just looking for, you know, I'm saved and I'm happy to sit on my sofa, that's not the full thing God has for you. Created in Christ for good works. There's, you know, our discipleship pathway says, discover your purpose and then make a difference. And maybe some of you remember Jesus said this little statement. I love that. He says, my food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work, to accomplish. So he had a certain job. We don't have that same job. We don't need to go to the cross in the same way. But God gives all of us purpose and meaning in life, which is what Alpha is about. So come to Alpha if you want to know more. Is there more to life than this? But God gives us purpose and meaning. And then it's like, I mean, I find it interesting Jesus uses the picture of food. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm really hungry, and I should snack less, that's probably true. But if I'm really hungry just to have something simple to eat and how it satisfies and fills you, right? So Jesus uses that kind of picture because they were walking through the desert and he was hungry. So the disciples bring him physical food. Here's whatever they brought. And he says, yeah, I get that. But actually, the real food that I have is to do the will of my Father. So it's interesting because he doesn't just say, I know the Father, and that satisfies us, that should satisfy us. But to do, God always has a commission. God always has a direction. And there's, maybe you've experienced this too, but I certainly have. When I've done things that were, I believe, on God's heart and that he put on my heart, I've done them, there's such a sense of satisfaction. That could be talking to someone, just listening for half an hour, and you think, I haven't said any word, but I've just been listening. You know those moments, but you just know, oh God, but that's your heart. I'm doing the Father's work. That might be, I don't know, cooking a meal, having you all around on Friday. We're running around frantically trying to find everything. But something in my heart before I've snacked is already, God, I'm satisfied because this is what you want us to do. You say, open your homes, open your doors, be hospitable. So there's a sense of love and satisfaction that I don't get from eating popcorn and crisps. You know what I mean? Like there's just a deeper, yeah, I don't need to emphasize, but you know what I mean? There's to do the will of my Father. That's the thing that, and actually without going into it now, but if you come to Alpha, you hear it. That's actually part of my story when I was 18 and thinking, God, what am I going to do with my life? Of course I, you know, I can be good at this, good at that. I get a good job, but why to have more money, to have a better life? It just felt so empty. And doing Alpha so many times with people, it's like, yeah, often people have that. That's not quite it. It's not quite it. It's not enough. My life isn't fulfilled and satisfied. And obviously the first session, they bring out this quote where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So if you mean life and satisfied, you have to come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. So it's profound. But that is something that I guess is a... Are you still a teenager with 18? No. Yeah, on the edge of being a young adult, whatever that age. It's just something that gripped me very deep within of, I don't want to live for myself. There's no point doing this just for natural reasons. God, I want you and I need you. And just that deep sense of peace and purpose. And I guess that's why we're in England and that's why we're here and all that. So thank you, Lord. Back to my script. Genesis 1:27. So God created man and woman. God created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. This is not in your notes yet. This is all extra and free. Male and female. So we are created in the image of God. And then we go through life. And actually, one thing that is on your notes, I'm jumping a little bit. But on page four, you know, that second point. So the first one, character types, we come into that a little bit later. But second one, elements then can influence our character. Because sometimes I hear people say, oh, this is just how I am and I don't need to change. God made me like this. Well, to be honest, I hear you, but there's some other things that have influenced how you are right now. So one of the things is family history. Depending on your upbringing, you know, we all shaped in different ways of our values and the things we do, our characters. If you had a certain style of parenting that you were exposed to, you probably have been shaped in that way. Some people become that, some people become the opposite because they push that away. I definitely don't want to X, Y, Z. Something is training. Some people intentionally go on a journey of personal development and things shape you, inform you. Some mentor, some life experience. If you think of a friend or a family member, maybe you've had a traumatic experience, it shapes you, it forms you. Or we talk about compassion, you come back to that. I know where the church I used to be part of in Germany before I came, we had a mission in India. And we would regularly have people go over and come back and see those videos of just kids on the street, like no food, parents just leaving. You know, that does something to you, and compassion. Obviously, now we have overseas worker as well, and they bring stories back. And it just shapes and forms you. So for us to say, not that anyone here would say that, but I've heard people over time say, oh, this is just how I am. Well, hold on. You know, there's things that have shaped you, but also the job of the Holy Spirit, or one of them, is, as I said earlier, to make us more like Jesus, to transform us into his likeness. So hopefully it puts us all on the workbench of the potter and say, I'm clay, Lord, teach me your ways. I want to humbly come before you. And we are never a finished work, right? We are always in progress. So that also puts us on one together. Now, we all want to grow with God and he wants to transform us. Actually, someone, a Bible teacher I've listened to for a bit here and there, he always would say the Holy Spirit makes us finer people. Some of you know John Mackay, who wrote The Way of the Spirit. It's all the Holy Spirit. He has a Scottish accent. I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit makes us finer people. So our personality becomes Christ-like, pleasant, nice to be around, but equally strong. Now, do we grow in our walk with God? Question for you. Do we grow on our own? Or do we grow in relationship with others? Where's the point of growth? It's a trick question again, right?
Everywhere.
In all places.
Everywhere, right? Well, there's a point where you grow by yourself, right? You've got to pray. You've got to want Jesus. You've got to want this. Otherwise, as much as we will all encourage you, it's up to you. And God has given us free will and he very much respects that. But at the same time, if you think of yourself as a Christian on a little island, I just mean Jesus, and I go somewhere, I don't know, not even Isle of Wight, somewhere further down. That's not going to work, right? So, but what happens in community? What happens in a setting like this, if you think character?
We grow together.
We grow together. For example, in what way?
We grow in faith together.
Grow in faith, yeah.
Yeah. Grow in love.
We grow in love. We encourage each other.
Ability to work together.
That's right. Yeah. Is that always easy and straightforward?
No, it's not.
Oh, thank you, Frank. You're with me. Because growing in love sometimes it is, oh, I'm so great to have you all there. Yeah. But sometimes we can, I'm not trying not to look at anyone, so I'm going to stay with you, Kurt. Sometimes we can really tread on each other's toes, can't we? Like, you know, and that is the point then where God says, okay, just think of yourselves as clay. I'm the potter, but this is good. He's like, this is good. Mm. So I've got one scripture for you.
Isn't there a verse in the Bible which says, iron sharpens iron?
That's the proverb. Yeah, exactly.
Is it proverb?
Yeah, yeah. But if the iron is just by itself on the shelf, well, there's nothing else to sharpen it, right? So it's iron sharpens iron. That's why we need to be together. And sometimes the uncomfortable times are the times of growth. So I'm not saying it's uncomfortable. It's great to have you all here, right? But it's that actually not to shy away from. Some people think, oh, I give my life to Jesus and I'm going to cruise and have this easy, beautiful. Everyone's patient with me and loving with me. And well, the reality is that we're not all perfect and we're still clay and we're being formed. But then I want to encourage us all in terms of character development. Just let's embrace the ouch and the, ooh, how did you mean that? And why did you say that to me? And, you know, and maybe where naturally we don't want to love and we want to retreat and hide a bit. Actually, let's say, no, I'm going to extra love, like Andrea does this. And it's sometimes a little bit irritating if someone does, do you want to explain? If someone does something towards us, it could have been a shop, could be anywhere, and it's not very nice and they're a bit grumpy. Andrea goes the other extreme. Oh, so nice to see you today. Thank you for your job today. So it's extra kindness. And I'm kind of, oh Lord, I'm here. It's so embarrassing and all that. And sometimes the people are really taken by surprise. Some of them stay grumpy, but a lot of the times they change. They're like, oh, thank you. You know, so it's rather than, do you want to, yeah.
It was a few weeks ago now. I was in a shop and it's always because of I look different, people do something and it's fine. But I was in Tesco, not this one, in Horsham. And I walked in that shop and there were literally a group of like 20 years old people sitting on sacks on like soil, I think. Yeah. Like five or six guys. And as soon as I walked in, they laughed. Mm. I knew they were laughing about me. So I said to them, I thought I'm gonna be brave. My heart was pounding like crazy. I said, I know you laugh about me. Can we just respect each other? No, I didn't laugh about you. I said, I know you did. It's okay. Just respect one another. Be kind. All of that. So I left, and I thought in the shop, I'm gonna buy them all chocolate. So I'm just gonna be extra loving, extra.
And ice cream or whatever, chocolate. Yeah.
And I had loads of chocolates. So I said, I need to go to the till now. I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna give it to them, So I paid, and I went to them and said, here you go, all the chocolate. No, you didn't have to do it. Then no, let's just be kind in a world where everything is like, troubling. Let's be kind. And they were completely over whatever. And I thought, you know, they will realize. And when they will see that in the night when no one is there, they will. So just to go that extra mile when someone irritates you or not doing something nice.
It reminds me of a scripture which tells us that when we do any job, we don't just do the job, we do it for Him.
Yeah.
I think that's very important.
Yeah. Very important. Whether people see it or not.
We can take that into our workplace. We can take that wherever we are. I can remember I had a part-time job once and it took 5 people to replace me.
Wow.
And that shows I wasn't over keen, I was just able and did what I was asked to do.
Wow.
5 people had to work to replace the amount of work that I had been doing. And I've never forgotten that.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's the heart you do it with, isn't it? Even people don't see it, people don't hear it. It's the heart that you do your job with. You bring it in the room. If you're frustrated, you bring it in the room. Even if you don't say it, but but if you do it with love and kindness, it's beautiful to Jesus.
Amen.
It's like that scripture.
Never wasted.
Exactly.
The works that are done for Him are never wasted. They don't rely on the responses of people outside.
Amen.
It's like a few weeks ago, I think, Fred, you brought that scripture. We were praying, and it's the good man out of the good storage of his heart brings out good things. Or, you know, whatever the heart's full of, the mouth flows over. So all of those scriptures of like, what's in the heart comes out. You know, and hopefully that's good.
I was thinking, because Jesus was genius at this, he said, pray for your enemies and do
that's
good
right. Amen.
So if you forgive that person as well, and then your heart's in the right place, forgiveness is key.
That's right.
You pray for your enemies and do good to them. It's the same thing that you've done.
Amen.
So it changes the dynamic. So if you've got even a small thing against someone, you've got to forgive that person, because first of all, your heart's open to God. Mm. If you've got one offence, then your heart's closed. So you keep on praying, and God won't answer that, because you've got to be put forgiveness is key.
Mm.
And forgive those who might be against you.
Mm. But it can be so against our natural soul, right? Oh, they've done this. I'm not going to, you know. But Jesus says, hey, this is a different kind of love. Forgive, even if it's your enemy. Yeah, well, pray for those. Bless them. Something we've tried to practice to do whenever, again, not people in this setting, but in a different place. When people have been really difficult to us, we try and make it a habit to pray for them and bless them. You know, obviously you forgive, but to go then the extra mile, I guess, and to actively bless them, whether it's practically or praying or whatever the situation is. Really good, yeah. So with that then, still not in your notes, but I felt it was important. You know, has God ever asked you a question? You know, I know we have lots of questions to God sometimes, but I don't know if you've ever had that, because I've had this over the years, it comes back to me, and it's related to character, I think, is, can I trust you? Yeah? So, you know, we would say, oh yeah, we want to grow in trust in God. That's your faith. That's faith. I'm going to trust God. That's good, completely fine. But what about the other way around? Can God trust you?
Wow.
Yeah, just let that sink in. But rather than thinking of it as on and off, black and white, I think of it more as kind of layers. You know, okay, I can trust you with this, you know, or I can trust you with that. But now that question, can I trust you, is that about gifting or is that character?
I think that's character, because we have the parable, don't we? The chap who went away and gave $1, $5, $10, or denarii.
Yeah, denarii.
And it was the one that used the 10 to his master's utility that was commended.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he put it to work, he used it, and he did something. He didn't just hide it out of fear.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And trusting us with small things.
That's right.
And maybe even unseen things. You know, some things people don't see, but to work with all of your heart on your job, Frank, like you said, some of that people have seen, some of that they didn't. You just did it, and with all of your heart, you did it for the Lord.
Yeah.
But God could trust you with more and with more. That's and then it took five people to try and catch up, right? Yeah. But that's also, in one sense, because you were trustworthy and your heart was in the right place, you flourished in your gifting too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were probably, yeah, look, you're smiling. You were good at it. It comes, there's grace there, you know, if you look at it from a spiritual. So they kind of go together. But, and God gave me this, so I'm journaling almost every day, well, pretty much every day. I remember drawing this line, and I felt some seasons of my life, God kind of worked more character, so I drew character. And then I felt there was a time where he worked on my gifting, whether that was, I don't know, musical or managing things or organizing. And you kind of have a bit of that. And you think, oh, yeah, that's a character time again. So in my own experience, it was, it's not always that right like this, but it was an emphasis on character. And then God worked on gifting. And then, oh, let me check your heart's in the right place. Yeah. And we work on this. So they go hand in hand. But maybe if you think of different seasons in your life, or maybe at the moment, it might be a time where you're learning lots of skills and you're getting good at stuff. And maybe you're doing the hub here with us and learning things this morning. We're trying to help Angelica start the service. That's skills. That's, you know, but because we can trust her with that, you know, that's the character thing. We kind of, we know you're not going to do something funky, you know, and we know you're journeying with Jesus. Then we thought, okay, we can trust you. So let's add some skills. Let's bring some gifting and then have a go. And then we learn from that. So it's both the character and the gifting. But I always think that question, can I trust you? I always feel when God asks me that, he's inviting me up higher, right? God always has more for us, okay? Always has more for us. His intention is always to go from glory to glory to glory. His intention is always to prune the vine. So there might be some chipping, right? But why? Not to make the vine smaller, to make the vine more fruitful. We have grapes in the back of our garden, and I need to learn how to do this because I haven't yet. But apparently, I'm hearing, I need to prune it back at the right time so that it all comes out again next year, right? So even though it's uncomfortable, that's what we want. And that's God's intention. And it's also his intention that we look more and more like Jesus. And in John 14, he says, you know, when people look at me, you've seen the Father. look at me and you see the Father. Philip, I think it is, or Tom, Philip asks him, show us the Father, like give us a great revelation of who God is. You know, big experience. And Jesus like, I've been hanging around you for a while now, you know. Here, this is, in all humility, I'm sure he said it, but look at me. This is the character of God. This is the words of God. So, and then he says, those who follow me, they will do the same things as I've been doing. So it's the be like Jesus and do like Jesus. But with that, just one more thing before we get into our booklets. Cannot trust you. And I feel like sometimes God can ask us that individually, but also I think together. God, can I trust you guys? Or what can I trust you with? And for me, I was just writing a few thoughts down. It's, where's your heart? Is it about me? Is it about God? Is it about something I can get? Is it about giving glory to God? I was thinking of Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? That's ouch. And he said, yeah, of course. Do you love me? Do you love me? And I know in Greek, the words for love is different. And it was, the first one was philia. Do you, on a human level, do you love me? But it's still conditional. But then do you agape? Do you love me with God's love? Do you, are you going to go all the way? Right? That's, it's a bit of a test. It's drawing something out of Peter. Like, come on, we can go further here. Or with Abraham, probably classic example, God gives him a promise, gives him his child that he's been waiting, praying for and believing for. And then God says, are you going to give it back to me? Now, we know God, we know how the story ends, so it's easier for us, but God's heart was never to take a child from him. You know, God is not like that. That's his character, which makes us trust him. He is faithful, he is good, he is love. So God's point wasn't, oh, I've changed my mind, let me take Isaac away. God was like, Abraham, can we just check where your heart is at? You know, now you've seen the miracle, you've got the son, you've got all those things. Let me just do a character check again. So the idea of God testing us is okay. It's okay to think and believe that. But actually what God then did was like, well done. You know, obviously he didn't kill his son, which is good. And God did bless him. But here, just some scriptures again. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? But I don't know if you've ever heard the next bit, and I certainly think more of this one. But it says, but I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind. So sometimes God is like, well, let's see where things are at. Not in a negative way, but in a way to invite us up further and higher. Here's another one, Proverbs 21. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Yeah, of course, the thing I'm thinking, I'm doing, you know. But it says, but the Lord weighs the heart. What's the motivation that's coming from? You might be good at this, you might be doing that, you might be pursuing this, or just casual about life. But what's in the heart? Proverbs 4 says, keep your heart pure, keep it clean with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Like we said earlier, if there's frustration deep down, it bubbles over, even if you try and, you know, but just, it will come out. If there's genuine love, forgiveness, compassion, joy, it just oozes out of you. And I want to be around that kind of person. So the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And then it says the evil person, but someone who doesn't walk in those ways. Out of that, that's what it flows over. So God tests us. Why? To reveal and strengthen faith, character, spiritual maturity. One more scripture here. Psalm 66 says, for you, God, have tested us. You've tried us like silver is tried. You know, is it pure enough? Is it? And I always love Andrew Boyd would use this example. The silversmith would hold it in the fire so long until he can see his own reflection in it. It's a real thing. It's not just a poetic. But I've read it. I looked it up. So he would put it in the fire and it's pure enough and at the point where he can see himself. It's like, yeah, that's right now. So that's what Jesus wants to do. Sometimes he helps us go through the valley or whatever the thing is, or refines us, whether by ourselves or with each other, so that he can see himself. And that's then what we reflect to whoever, really. So should we turn to the book? On page 2, there's 4 scriptures, actually. I know 1 or 2 we've read already, but maybe each table can read a scripture. One of you, can you read the first scripture? Do you want to?
Page 3?
Page 2 still, page 2. Anyone can read it out loud for us? You can read out loud just the first scripture, yeah.
In the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever.
Amen. 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 That's what we grow in grace and the knowledge. Then what about one of you? Do you want to read Ephesians 4, the next scripture?
Ephesians 4, 12 to 13. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Wow. Let's grow into that. And a key word there is to become mature. And that's a lifelong journey, right? But let's actively engage with that process of maturing, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Yeah. What about one of you three? The next one? Have you chosen one to read?
According to the gift of God's grace, which was given to you, according to the work of his power.
Wow. So that's another aspect we come to later in the book, about the spiritual gift God gives us according to the working of his power. Okay, and then one of you, do you want to read the next one? Andy, do you want to read? Yeah.
For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works.
That's good. So as followers of Jesus, we begin to discover our purpose is to live like Jesus and do the same things. Another scripture, this table again. Dallin, do you want to read I Tell You the Truth? Oh, yeah.
Oh, this one.
Yeah, up there.
I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
Really good. And then he goes into more things. We cannot live a Christ-like life and do all those things without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us pray, do the same things, and live as followers. Cool. If you turn the page, we won't go through all the things like we did last time. We kind of scratched the surface a bit, and then in your own time, you can dive a bit deeper. What's about, there's two kind of character personality tests in this book. Maybe we do one. Yeah, let's do this one. So on page 5, this is like, it's called DISC, Discovery. It's about character and leadership style. So this is not from a book in the Bible, but it's a personality tool that's been developed. And it just asks you different questions. So what you're going to do, and you can either do this by yourself or you can chat with your neighbor. Some of us find it easier. Go through those questions and then kind of rate yourself a little bit. So in the first section, character risk, total D. So one question is, am I assertive, demanding, and decisive? Is that kind of, you know, does that, are you never like that? Are you sometimes like that? or for example, the next one down, I enjoy doing multiple tasks. So this is personality. Frank's shaking his head. We're just going to do this one. The other one, which is about spiritual gifts, you can do in your own time. But just
good, that one.
It's really good as well. But just go through it. And then on the left, if you go back to page 4, point 1 has all those, describes what they are. So letter D, which is the first section on page 5, is that kind of dominant character. So extroverted, task orientated, organized, outgoing. And then the other ones, and C is compliance, introverted. Does that make sense? So it's different kinds of personalities. So let's do a few minutes on page 5. Just go through and try and see how you do. There's no right or wrong. This is just about kind of the way we tick. Okay, well, can I just interrupt you briefly? You can finish it in a minute if you're, some of you are on quiz 1, some of you 2, and some of you have done it all already. We won't go through it more together now, but just a little note. Did anyone enjoy doing it?
Yes.
Did anyone not enjoy doing it? It's complicated, isn't it?
It's a bit complicated. They got there, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think it's a bit like doing the old horoscopes.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, the idea in the heart is to kind of, we're having a chat, to understand more how you tick, because we all have ways we tick, and some of them, we have blind spots. I don't know. But, you know, like, I said to you a funny example. Sometimes at home, I'm like, should we do this? Should we do that? And I'm thinking about this. And Andrea's like, just make a decision. You know, like there's nothing spiritual about it. It's just our personality. And, you know, maybe your home and your family, they're all very straightforward and let's do this and make it. So she's quick and very confident. I'm more like maybe the analytical side. I'm weighing it all up and I'm thinking about it and I'm hearing everyone. So, but what we're finding, but you know, with those things is it doesn't, sorry, can I just finish? It doesn't mean one is right or the other is wrong. No. It actually means I need a bit of her to like, let's make a decision. And sometimes, love, you need a bit of me to like weigh it all up and like think, so does that make sense? But you could see those things clash, right? You could say, well, you're not like this and you should be like, actually, no, all of those characteristics, you know, we're made in God's image and we're formed, we're uniquely and wonderfully made. But we then need to learn to work a bit together. And it's funny, you two are quite different, right? Yes. You found when you're doing the assessment, one of you is much more that. And then we jokingly said, well, maybe that's why you sit next to each other. Like, but we need each other.
It's really interesting because we kind of work in this, not the same field, but have similar interests.
Similar. Oh, interesting.
But we're just opposite. Kind of,
But it's a bit like if you think of something in balance, if you just have... In a room or in a team of people, if you just have one, like, what's the assertive, visionary, and let's do it, task-orientated, the other thing is completely out of balance, right? If you only have people that are very gentle and loving and focused on one another, then we're not going anywhere, right? In the right way. So we need one another, we need the glue, we need the relationship, we need to hear each other, care for each other, but then we need some people in the mix who are like, guys, we're going this way, let's go. And if you think of different people or team leaders at work or even in church, you know, if you think of Pastor Clive, Pastor Colin, different people or others that are very, I don't know, what can we think of? Some are much more, we're going this way. You know, Pastor Colin would stand up, the Lord said this, we're going. And someone else might stand up and just open the word and just is a shepherd. You know, you can see where that is. So it's a bit of a mix of personality and giftings of God. Now, the other one, you can do this at home when some of you are starting it, is more thinking about spiritual gifts. Sorry, can I just quickly? Mm-hmm. If you need help to do it, just ask us. I won't go into it now. But it asks you different questions about, you know, how much you like praying, how much you love sharing your faith. Rarely, I don't like sharing, or I love sharing it. So it's more kind of spiritually orientated questions. And then we can help you how to do this. But then on that page, 12 and 13, it has a whole list of, and that is very Bible-based, in terms of gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So there's gifts of discernment, of evangelism, of craftsmanship, of faith, gifts of giving, gifts of hospitality, gifts of, I'm just picking some, mercy, leadership, service, teaching. And maybe you remember in Romans 12, it says, if you have the gift of serving, serve. If you have the gift of leading, lead. If you have the gift of prophesy, you know, do the thing that God has given you. So if the test is too complicated for you to do, you can also just read through that and think, oh yeah, I can see that inspires me, that moves me, that's the thing I love, that's the thing that gets me going, you know, so that might be an inspiration. And there's something about passion, again, just to try and draw things out and to understand how we tick, and maybe you then know why other people wind you up and you know where to exercise love. Just one last thing before Andrea does some highlights to close this. Where is it? On page 8, can we turn to page 8? This is like a workbook, right? This is like the counterpart to the test you first did. So if you found you know, I'm very strong, I make decisions quick, then in the first section, it's trying to give you some tips for growth, actually saying, maybe you should listen to others, you know? So I already did this for you. So if you are a very quick decision maker, you know what you're doing, I'm always right or almost always right, then maybe, for example, it says, well, strive to listen to people, actually take the time. Try to be less controlling because though that person might not want to admit it, other people might say, actually, that person's a bit, I'm not saying that about you. You actually come across quite controlling and a bit dominant. And so, you know, he's the potter, we're the clay. So we can say, Lord, help me not to be so dominant because actually it's not very pleasant, right? So just bringing things in balance. Or if you've, like on third paragraph, if you are a very steady, stable person, maybe you can think about change as a healthy thing. So I did the test with one of you just now on the table, and you were like, I don't like change, I don't like changing environments. But so here's some considerations. Well, maybe think of the positive sides of that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or what is it? Be more direct in your interactions. Or deal with confrontation constructively. You know, if something does come up, okay, just breathe. You can do this. So for some of that, it comes easier than others. And again, there is no right or wrong in the sense of you should be more like this or you should be like that. But let's think of ourselves as we're the potter. He's the potter. Keep getting this wrong. He's the potter. We're the clay. Understanding how we tick, both in our personalities, but also then in our giftings. And Lord, use me, shape me, form me, but I want to be used.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.